Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Here I am. It's Nikki. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I just did Noah's part because she is busy right now, but she'll be on the show in just a second. I'm here. Brian is here. What's up, Brian?
Yeah. Noah's not in labor, but she is performing labor somewhere else.
But yeah, I guess people might think that she's like been she's not even doing a baby thing. She's doing like a work thing.
Well,
yeah, she gets that time off though.
Could still be
soon.
A baby.
Yeah, it could still. We don't know what's going on with her at the moment. Even though she did just text me, I'll be there soon.
She's producing another podcast that's hosted by a baby. It's a new thing they're trying.
She does do another podcast. I don't know if we talk. She does. She produces Amber Ruffin's podcast.
Yeah,
that Amber Ruffin does with her sister. So if you want to support Noah
Ruffin Around the Edges, it's called.
No, it's not. Is it?
No.
It should be. That's a great name. Brian, how are you today? It's early there. I'm sorry we had to do early today.
You can see the sun streaming.
I know.
Is not my usual sun angle.
I know. It's the natural the ring light you have going on, which is the sun, is not optimal.
No.
Early there.
Yes. I've been watching a lot of new shows I thought I'd tell you about.
Please.
Yeah. So
The Regime.
No, everyone's been talking about The Regime.
I know. It's gonna be like Succession for me. I'm gonna jump on when
it's in its
fourth season or something. It's Kate Winslet and she just fucking kills everything she does. And she plays a dictator who is multifaceted. You know, like there's moments that you like really empathize with her, and sometimes she's like a demon, and like it's just Kate Winslet being fucking good.
Sure.
That's what I've heard. Anyway, what are you watching?
The Lady from Titanic?
Yeah.
This Netflix sci-fi show that everybody's watching now called Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching that.
Yeah.
About China stealing our souls?
Pretty much it's about China stealing our souls. China, China's involved. Communist China's involved.
Is it fic? Is it sci-fic?
It's sci-fic, yeah.
Why do they do sci-fi? Why not sci-fic? Because sci-fi, I never really think of fi as fiction. I just think of it as a word. Like
science. It's not science
fiction. It's sci-fi. Sci-fi.
Yeah.
Sci-fi.
That's a good point. It makes no sense.
I don't like it.
I mean, I guess sci-fi sounds pretty cool to say. And when
it was cool to say.
When it was a channel, it was S-Y-F-Y.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
That was cool. What happened to that channel?
I'm not interested in sci-fi at all. Is it sci-fi?
I am realizing that I'm not really interested in sci-fi at all either. Because
I want sci-fac.
I'm watching this and I'm like, all right, I think like the theories are interesting and the science is interesting and like, oh, that's cool to think about. But ultimately, I'm like, who cares? This is all
made up. Is it a documentary-ish series? Like, or
no.
It's really fiction.
There are some historical elements that are real and it's based on a book and the science is like theoretically possible, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But what I'm finding with this show is that it is the first few episodes are riveting, kind of like Lost. Did you watch Lost?
No, but I know about Lost.
Where you're like, ooh, what's the mystery? What's going to happen? And then
the black smoke monster.
Yeah, so the black smoke monster reprises its role for this show.
Oh, he's back.
He's back. It's his second role, and I'm bored. It slows down to a halt. It gets really slow, and it starts.
When are we talking? It gets slow.
Like episode four, it starts to really slow down, and I'm like,
and that's
I think
where I jump ship. That's where I kick the show off the board in the Arctic waters and say, bye, Leo, because I will not be disrespected of my time just because I've already, the fallacy of sunken cost. I've already this far. I might as well keep going. No, you jump ship.
Right.
I'm
dealing with a U2 situation right now where I'm looking online for people saying like, man, it really slows down. I'm having trouble finding something. Everyone's
not
raving
cool
about it. People love the book. And here's another interesting aspect about it, which is why I'm going in kind of like hesitant. That's created by the people who created Game of Thrones, Benioff and Weiss, and then another person. And I'm just a little nervous. I know that they're very good at adapting things from
the
book.
Is his name Ben Niehoff or Benny Hoff? Because
well,
one of those I like
Benioff.
And the other I don't. Oh,
that's
wait,
just
what's his first
name? David, I think.
Is it really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
So Benioff is his last name?
Yeah.
I really, all these years, thought his name was Ben Niehoff or Benny Hoff.
Yeah, no, his last name is Benioff, and his first name's David.
I don't care for that. I don't care for that last name. It's too confusing for me.
Benioff.
But it's okay. He's allowed to have it. I'm allowed to not like it. And neither of us are wrong. Okay, I'm sure he doesn't care for Glazer. Is it Glasser? Is it Glazer?
Well, I have a friend whose last name is Glazer. It's Glasser.
Spelled my name?
Spelled the same way.
Listen, there's an S, so it could go either way, but that one's wrong. Okay, so you invested your time because it's Benioff from Game of Thrones. Who let you down more than anyone's let you down ever in the final
the
season
world
of Game of Thrones?
So the thing that happened with Game of Thrones, I was let down. I was betrayed, and yet
victimized.
I still feel like Benioff and Weiss are very good at adapting shows from books. As long as the source material doesn't run out, they're going to be fine.
Oh, right.
Because that's what happened with Game of Thrones, is the source
material
ran out.
George R. R. Martin didn't. Why did they start thinking they just thought he would be done by the time?
Oh, yeah. Well, George R. R. Martin is truly the villain of this whole betrayal, because he's the one that didn't write his. He procrastinated until the show
that
was over.
Poor guy getting so much shit for procrastinating when he. How many books did he write?
Five.
Okay, and they're like huge, right?
Well, the
and he
problem
created this
is
world. He's allowed to like take a fucking break.
Well, he took like a 20-year break, and
good.
During that time, he instead of writing Game of Thrones, he decided to write all this other shit. He wrote a Game of Thrones encyclopedia
that
the new show is based
try
on.
Try other things. He was bored. You wouldn't have wanted him to stay in that genre. He was wanting to branch out. He wanted to do like, you know, a flute album like Andre 3000 or whatever.
No, he's allowed.
You know, that
he's
no
allowed
one wants. But
I agree
did
that he's allowed. I feel like it's unfair to make like
artists
sometimes with my cartoons, people are like, where's the next Tubby Wars? And I'm like, I don't think my channel is going to like do well with another Tubby Wars, so I don't make a new Tubby Wars, basically. And they're like, but you
I know,
must
they have
make
their
more
favorites.
Tubby Wars.
I know. I get that with roast jokes where people are like, do more roast jokes. And I'm like, it's just, that's a thing that I did and I do it well, but it's like, I don't want to put, it takes a different kind of work ethic and a different kind of space to do it. And it sucks. I think every artist has had some level of success in an area gets pigeonholed for that, and people want more of it and less of the other stuff that
and
we really
they
like
get
to do.
Mad.
Yeah,
they get
mad
when you try to switch. When you try to switch your style up.
Yeah. And what does 50 Cent say?
Go ahead and switch your style up, and if they hate, let them hate and watch the money pile up.
Okay, here we are back at George R. R. Martin had every right to take those 20 years off. Okay, so we didn't even talk about what this show is about.
Yeah, the show is a science fiction. I don't want to give too much away because most of it is like most of the best parts of it are the mystery of it and like what is happening. But let's just say it takes place on multiple points in history with different scientists who are intrinsically linked by some kind of mysterious element.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out. I don't care about fiction. Even The Regime, which I know is going to blow me out of the water. Like, I know it's going to be amazing. I've seen some clips of it. And she's just, sometimes people are so good at acting, it just, you'll watch anything they do. And Kate Winslet is one of those people. And that's why Succession was so good. I don't usually like scripted stuff, but the performances were just so subtle and compelling and real that you just can't help it. I'll watch Jennifer Lawrence do just about anything too. I just
like
her
Succession.
Face
you feel like you're getting like an insight into wealthy people and wealthy
that
power.
Wasn't it for me? For me, it was the way they talked and the way that they talked like normal people in conversation. I mean, not the way I talk, but I just felt like there's ums, there's likes, there's
sure.
It felt like closer to like a reality show to me, and obviously it was. I forgot they were acting.
Yeah, you're onto something there. I never thought about it that way. I think there was a moment of like reality show fans love Succession.
Well, the camera would be shaky sometimes, right? Like the camera would be like trying to stabilize to get a shot, or it felt like there was some sort of like fly on the wall. You're watching something you shouldn't be, and I can watch scripted. It's not what I go veer towards regularly. Okay, so you're watching that. What else are you watching?
Okay, so that show, I've finished the first season, much to Allie's chagrin, who went on vacation to Portland, and that was probably something she wanted to watch together, but I just burned through the whole thing while she was gone. The second show, which is historical fic, which we don't call historical fi.
Hi-fi.
Yeah, we don't call it, do we call it?
We should call it hi-fi. We should.
We say historical fiction. We don't even have a shortcut for it. Do we call it hi-fi?
Fic. No, we don't call it hi-fi, but we can.
Okay, so hi-fi, which is my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. I like that better because of what you're saying. It's like sci-fi is not real, and at least hi-fi, you're like, this really happened, or this is based on something that really happened.
But it also takes liberties. So what's the hi-fi you're watching?
It's called We Were the Lucky Ones on Hulu, and it's a...
I haven't even heard of this.
Oh, yeah, neither did I, and I'm shocked that I didn't hear of it because this is like, I eat this shit up like it's candy.
Where's it set?
It's a Holocaust movie or Holocaust television show.
Okay.
And it follows one Polish family as they get dispersed when the Germans invade Poland, and follows their plight through the Holocaust towards the end of the war. And it's kind of like Succession, where you're like, who's going to survive? Who's going to make it out?
It's harrowing and it's emotional.
Oh, it's harrowing, emotional, depressing. The performances are amazing. And I just love...
I'm sure.
I love hi-fi. I love watching stuff about World War II and the Holocaust and just seeing what
We Are the Lucky Ones on Hulu, if you want to join Brian watching that.
Yeah, so that show there that you can't binge watch. It's coming out one episode at a time. Yeah.
Much like Lovers and Liars, which had a premiere episode on Monday. A premiere, like sneak peek app. On CW.
Only on the CW.
But Noah's here to tell us that it is on the CW app right now. You can
just
watch the sneak peek.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's leaving again to go do her labor. We were saying that you were either in labor or doing labor. And what is the name of Amber Ruffin's show? Because we said that you
Roughing Around the Edges.
It's Roughing Around the Edges,
That's
right?
That's a great... You know what? I might use that for a segment. Thank you.
It's right. really
That'd
a good
so
one.
So funny. So it's the Amber and Lacey and Amber show.
Lacey and Amber.
And her sister, Lacey Lamar.
That's funny, because they couldn't decide whose name was first, so they both decided to have their names first.
Because they're so competitive.
Although,
but let's say that Amber did get it first.
Yeah, she did.
Yes.
I will say, as a person who has been in a duo before with my show, You Had to Be There with Sarah Schaefer and me, we had our podcast was You Had to Be There. It was my first podcast ever. And then we got an MTV show, and there was the thing of like Sarah and Nikki, or Nikki and Sarah, and Nikki and Sarah just flowed better. And Sarah, thank you so much for I don't think at the time I really cared either way. If anything, I just would probably want to be second, because I didn't want the pressure of like, this is, I didn't want it to look like I had fought for it to be first, but thankfully it did look better first. And it is cool to have your name first when it's a duo. It just is. Even though I don't think I pressed for it, sometimes it just flows better. But Schaefer and Glazer, if we would have gone with last names, Glazer and Schaefer isn't as good as Schaefer and Glazer.
That's correct.
So that would have been,
a
different.
Yeah, but you can't have a show called Schaefer and Glazer. I mean, that's like.
I think, well, there was a. There was Franklin and Bash, and that killed
that
it
sounds
for
awesome.
A half season.
Yeah.
Sure.
Kumail is crushing it on Franklin and Bash for about three episodes.
Wait, can I tell you what I'm watching? Because who did I tell you I'm obsessed with yesterday?
Kate Winslet.
No.
Yesterday?
Oh, Noah Kahn?
No. But TB12, okay?
Oh, Tom Brady, yeah. Are you watching the...
I don't know what's happening to me, but I am like turning... I like want to watch football now. Like, I almost went and watched an old game of football because I'm like really into football. This is what happens to me. There's a part of my brain that's a little on the spectrum that gets very obsessed with things and wanting to find out all the information about it. And it is just it is a character trait of people with autism. And I want to say that is probably a little bit of a spectrum-y thing for me because it's always been my way where I become intensely focused and obsessed with something. You guys have known it on the podcast, certain books that I've read thirds of. I'm going to learn a third of all the information there is to know about Tom Brady, which is much more than most people know.
Oh,
ask me anything about Tom Brady. I'll tell you. I think I'm close to being an expert. Okay. If we're not talking total stats, I do know some stats, but I don't know all stats.
What college did he go to?
Michigan.
Okay. What, where was he born?
He's born in California, like Santa Clarita or something. Rosalita. Santa Clemente. I don't know. Somewhere around there. But he went and watched, not USC games. Who was he obsessed with? He was obsessed with the 49ers. So I would say the Bay Area, like Northern California, he was born.
Yeah. Which quarterback did he replace?
Joe Montana. Oh, sorry.
He became a starter.
Drew Bledsoe.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct.
Oh, my God. The joy I feel right now knowing a football player's name and like something. I don't think I've ever felt this way.
It's pretty
crazy.
Because
it's almost like I fixed my posterior pelvic tilt of my brain. Because my brain cannot, since a child, has not been open to any sports information or stats. And I literally learned this from actual interest as opposed to like, Taylor Swift knows now, so I should know. Like, I actually care now. He's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he is incredible. He was my enemy for many years because he was Well, because he defeated the Colts in the playoffs so many years in a row, dominating them.
Tom Brady might be one of the greatest people to ever have lived. And I really do think talk about someone who does not care about being the GOAT. He really doesn't. He doesn't care about being MVP. He is only in competition with himself. And then he is such a team player. He's obsessed with his team. He doesn't really like the things that make him stand out from everyone else. He really just wants to win. He's obsessed with winning. He's very competitive, but he's not a showboat kind of guy. Like, think of all the other quarterbacks who I would say Mahomes is kind of like this too. He kind of like keeps Mahomes to himself and doesn't seem like a showboat to me.
Ravenous.
Do you think he's a showboat?
No, he's
he doesn't
just
seem like to think he's cooler
than anyone
else.
Extremely competitive, confident guy.
Yeah, but Like, there's some guys that start dressing differently and, like, carrying themselves differently, which I get, and I would do that, of, like, I'm hot shit. But Tom Brady he just seemed focused, and the cool thing about him is that literally no one in his past can even say, like, I knew this kid was going to be great. Like, no one.
Yeah.
There's literally... Chris and I always joke about how whenever someone gets famous and successful, they always say, no one believed in me. Uh-huh. It was me against everyone. And and it's Lady Gaga. I'm doing an impression of, like, people told me that you're not going to be a star. No one likes to hear you. And there was, like, a Facebook group that said Stephanie Germanon is not going to be famous. So it was all people who were jealous. And people really did tell her, like, you're not going to be great or whatever. But I think most people on the surface, she was... You watch old clips of her. There were some people being like, you've got it, girl. There's no way no one told her she'd make it. But kind of Tom Brady, I've watched a couple documentaries and a couple just, YouTube clips. That is really a person who no one ever could have predicted he'd get to this. Yes, they predicted that he'd be in the NFL. Yes, he was going to be in the major leagues for baseball. But he barely made it in the NFL. He was supposed to be a second or third round draft pick. That's what they thought. He ended up being sixth round. It's just interesting to me when someone really had everything going against them, and no, and like they try to scrounge up or like scrounge up anyone for these documentaries to be like, I saw it and I'm young, but like no one can. It's so funny to me. But he knew,
yeah,
and that's cool. He said to Robert Kraft, who, you know, the first time he met the owner of the Patriots, who got him Kraft, begrudgingly Jesus. In the 199th pick overall, which is insane. I don't really know what these stats mean until I kind of read more into it. It's really, really sad. He was there's six quarterbacks for the Patriots that were picked before he was. And the team already has quarterbacks. This is like they picked six more and then him in 2000 or 1999 or whatever it was. So he walks up to Robert Kraft. And he says, hi, I'm Tom. Or Robert Kraft goes, hello. And he goes, hi. And he goes, oh, I know who you are. You're Tom Brady. You're a sixth round draft pick. And he goes, yeah, and I'm the best pick. I'm the best decision this organization has ever made. And I'm sure there's other people that have said that and then they go on to it. Chris always says, you can't always go off of like this person knew, because a lot of people know and it doesn't happen. But that is pretty cool that he said that to his face. And Robert Kraft like remembers this young kind of tenacious kid who was like literally they picked six quarterbacks ahead of how that's what I want to know, Brian. How are you a six round draft pick, but then there are six quarterbacks picks before you? Wouldn't there be five?
I don't think that the Patriots would have picked six quarterbacks.
They did.
The Patriots picked six quarterbacks that year. I think that can't be right. There's no way that's right. This was 2002.
Or I guess there were six quarterbacks ahead of it. Maybe I read it wrong and there were six quarterbacks before him.
Yeah, six quarterbacks selected in the draft before him.
And oh, okay. I thought the Patriots, and I was like, oh my God.
That would be so crazy. That would be like the malpractice for the organization.
I'm probably wrong, and I probably read it wrong, and it's six overall in the NFL. But anyway, I really, really recommend people watching the thing I'm watching. And I know everyone's like, Nikki, shut up about Tom Brady. I'm already over it. Okay, I get it. I think you people, especially girls who are into watching celebrities' relationships, particularly Tom Brady and Giselle, dude, all we talked about when his documentary, that he did this Facebook Watch documentary called Tom Versus Time, and all we talked about when that came out, at least all I heard about, was when he kissed his kid a little too long. Do you remember that? He was getting a massage on the table, his kid came in for a kiss, and then his kid left, and he goes, no, come back. You give me a real kiss. And then his kid, like, it lingered for, like, 2 seconds, 2.5 seconds or something like that. And it made people uncomfortable, and everyone made fun of him. I have reassessed the footage. I've watched it back. We have now called it totally acceptable. He is a loving father. The kid did not want to not kiss him. The kid was just like, I want to go play games. He wasn't like, gross, Dad, I don't want to kiss you. It was just like, it was as if a kid was being told, come here and give me a hug. It was like, it's the way they show affection. It was not creepy at all. I've reviewed the footage and is, we call it not creepy, completely acceptable behavior. And possession goes back to Tom Brady of the child.
Picking up the flag.
Yes. Whatever
that
means.
This is your Zapruder film. This is Nikki in a dark room.
I've gone back and watched. And I was the biggest critic of that footage ever because I didn't know anything about him. And I was like, as a girl who used to have to kiss her dad on the lips until a very late age, I was very triggered by it. And my dad never meant anything creepy by it either. And so I've reassessed the footage as a 39-year-old woman. And it's completely acceptable. He's a loving father, and you would be so lucky to have a father like Tom Brady. We're going to go to break. We'll come back with more after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I gotta go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nikki. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good. We're back. By the way, Lovers and Liars, CW, April 11th. It all begins then. It's pretty much F-Girl Island, but it is, or it's F-Boy Island, but with girls. So it's F-Girl Island, as I've told you guys before. Brian worked with me on this season. He was, so if anything funny I say, it was either written by me or Brian. Most likely Brian. He fucking killed it. So it's a hilarious show. A lot of my lines got in, I think, to the sneak preview.
Oh, I heard. Yeah, well, I saw that supercut clip that you posted.
I didn't even see that because I can't watch
it. It was
myself.
Just you doing lines. Like,
oh, good.
It's just Nikki saying funny lines as the women came in.
Thank you, F-Boy Island franchise.
One joke
that
I don't
together.
Even remember.
Oh, no, what did I say?
Three of you, you're going to have to eliminate, three girls will be getting eliminated tonight, or six boobs.
That was pretty funny. Was me, I think.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one.
I don't either. That seems like cancelable. Some women have one boob.
Or three.
Or three. So maybe it's two women going home. F-Boy Island, or F-Boy Island, which is now the spinoff F-Girl Island, which is now called Lovers and Liars. Very confusing, but not. It's called Lovers and Liars. It's on the CW. Check your local listings, or you can just download the CW app now and be ready April 11th when the first episode drops.
I believe you can watch it on the CW app if you download the app.
Right now?
Yeah.
The first episode?
Yes.
Yeah, like 1 week early. On the app, you can get it 1 week early.
Oh, I'm really glad that marketing told me that.
Yeah, it's on the app. I watched. Okay. I started watching it yesterday, and these guys are so dumb. They have clue about these girls.
It's speaking of. Okay, it's Benedict.
Comedian,
Pelosi.
Indianapolis comedian Benedict Polizzi.
Sorry, Polizzi.
Polizzi.
It is CJ Weathers, who is on F-Boy Island season 3, who is just this adorable basketball player who is kind of just like, he came in. He talks like this. And he came
tall drink of water.
Thanks tall drink of water, that, hot, so nice.
Nice guy.
He came in as an F-boy on last season. And then halfway through the season, he like literally transformed into a nice guy. We all, like, he was crying. He was emotional. He actually admitted he wanted a deep connection and he's just been avoiding it. And he's just hilarious. Anytime I would ask him, like, how are you feeling today, CJ? He'd be like, you know, Nikki, My head right now, it's, well, you know, you know me, Nikki. And I'd be like, I don't, CJ. Well, actually, at that point, I did. We had filmed a whole season of F-Boy, right? F-Boy 3. And then we went right into F-Girl Island. So I had known CJ for a few weeks, but he's like, well, you know me, Sister Nikki. He started calling me Sister Nikki, not like in a black girl affectionate way, like sister, like literally they were like, I think at first they called me their stepmom and I really didn't like that. So then they switched it to sister as like, here you go, Nikki. And so then he just called me Sister Nikki. Yeah. And by the way, sister, meaning you're the teen mom who had you, that everyone's lying and saying it's your sister. So there is, that's how the boys referred to me, is like a very, very older sister is suspiciously too affectionate with them, and possibly as your mom. But but he would always go, you know, Nikki, you know me. He was like, it's all scrambled eggs up there. So he would often refer to his brain as scrambled eggs. I'll tell you, the hardest job in the world is getting the contestants of a reality show to tell you something different about their feelings before an elimination. It's always they're confused. They have no idea what they're going to do. They thought the last one was hard. This one's harder. And yeah. It's true. I mean, all these things are true, but like, it's just the same thing over and over. And it's that was the hardest part of my job, was trying to elicit different emotive responses from contestants who are going through the same motions every week.
Yeah.
But it's going to be so funny. It's such a fun season. These girls are lying to these guys, you guys. Like, some of these girls are so, I've talked about it before with F-Boy, how like, I can't believe how much these people can act like they're in love and then turn their backs on them and like totally change. I don't think I could do that for that long and be so convincing and pretend to be into these guys. But these girls got me, man.
Wild. And whenever there's a revelation, when there's an elimination, and then the girls have to say if they were an F girl or nice girl. I mean, some of these reveals were like shocking. And
these
the way that they
reveal,
a lot of the times, if you're an F girl and then she reveals she's an F girl, she's like, she gets like celebrated
angry
and she's
about
cheering.
It. Yeah,
there's
yes.
anger.
Yes, it's totally different than F boy. It is, what's it called? When men
there's
and women
the
are treated differently.
It's
what's the thing?
Bicurious?
No. It's a thing we treat. Oh, it's a where. Oh, if women do that, it's fine, but men can't.
Misogyny.
Well, no, this is actually the double standard. Thank you. It's the opposite of misogyny. It's like we allow women to get away with being mean to men more than men being mean
sure.
to women. So this was something that was kind of delicate during the season. And I wish it wouldn't have been. I wish we could just equally be shitty on both sides and nice on both sides. But it's easier for people at home to watch women be mean to men, as we've seen on sitcoms, as we've seen in commercials where the woman's always henpecking the husband who's just hasn't called about getting
haranguing.
The cabinets repair. Yeah, exactly. And so like on F Boy Island, a boy would get eliminated and he would like go off on the girls. Like sometimes there would be a guy that would like really be like, well, you're not even hot. I wouldn't hit you with a fucking truck. Like they'd say some mean shit to these girls once they were revealed.
Oh my God.
And we'd cut it
so
because
aggressive.
It's too mean. We cut it. It's too mean. I mean, there were times where I was like, don't you fucking talk to her. That like, I would get upset about it. That was always the worst part of the show for me was my biggest fear, if you've been listening to the show long enough, is men calling me ugly when they finally have been insulted in some way where they get you know what? I don't even want to fuck you anyway after I reject them.
God damn.
You look like this. You have bad breath. You know, I had an ex-boyfriend write a song about me having bad breath after I rejected him. I had a guy, after I rejected him, try to run over my foot with a car because I was getting out of, he kissed me and I pushed him away. And so he drove me home 90 miles an hour. I got out of the car. Before I opened the door, he pulled off. So I like fell out of the car and almost got like ran over. So I have like a lot of series, and these are very minor compared to what men can do in retaliation when their sexuality is being threatened or like, they've gone out on a limb to make a move on a girl and they feel stupid and then they get this surge of anger.
Shame,
we all have had it. You trip and then you get mad at the thing that you tripped on the sidewalk. Like
the sidewalk's weird over here.
Yeah. What the fuck? Who left out that twig?
Yeah.
So that's always my biggest fear when these guys get eliminated, that they're going to be so mean to these girls. And I'm projecting because these girls actually can handle it a lot better. They're like, you call me ugly? No, I'm not. I'm fucking hot as fuck.
These girls were super confident.
Yeah, they usually, the girls that we have on the show are extreme. There's been a couple that have been as insecure as I am, and I love them so much for it because they don't even need to be, and I kind of saw myself in them like, oh girl, my God, you look amazing. What, you know, it. But for the most part, these girls are really sturdy and did not care if these guys called them ugly when they were limited. They were just like, okay, bye. Like that, you can tell it didn't affect them later on, whereas me, devastating. So I would always be like protective. But when the girls got eliminated, no one cared if they went off on the guys. No. Like, it was a free-for-all of, like, you...
the hellfire way you rained down on Earth.
Like, you're a fucking dork. You're a fucking nerd.
Stupid. You're dumb.
You're stupid.
And you have a little pick. And... yeah, you're not hot. You're dumb.
Your shoes are ugly. Your mama probably hates you. Like, just they get brutal. And I'm so guessing rough. They leave it in because it was funny. And these guys actually, I will say, Benedict as he has my heart because, and let's throw in Casey too. Casey, the babyface assassin from seasons 1, 2, and 3 of F Boy Island. No, not three. Sorry, 1 and 2 of F Boy Island. He's back looking for love. And I love Casey so much. He is such a sweetie. Is he a reformed F-boy? We don't know. Is he looking for love? I believe he thinks he is. Let's see if he finds it. I was very, like, shocked to hear he wanted... when he said he wanted to have... he wants to find someone to have kids with on the show, I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You do? And he really does. He's such a sweetie. I love Casey so much. I think... I shouldn't reveal... Casey and I have connected over, like, drinking and stuff like that. And I think he's on the up and up recently. I think he's really... I think that kid is, like, gonna be something. I'm really proud of Casey. Anyway, Benedict, though, has my heart because he's a comedian. And as Brian and I know, deeply insecure, insecurity is embedded in
Benny's my favorite.
Benny, by the way, shows up on on Lovers and Liars. Oh, no, sorry, F-Boy 3. Was he on it? Yeah, he came in mid-season on F-Boy 3. He shows up so chiseled. Yeah. Hasn't eaten a carb in
absurd.
90 months. Working out every second of his life. He even admitted to all of this. He was like, I have to be shirtless on TV for weeks. Like, I'm going to show up looking insane. And he did. He's got the best body of any comedian, probably since Kumail. Marvel?
I mean, like, comedians his body's better than Kumail's, probably. Yeah.
Kumail looked pretty good. Mateo, I'm trying to think of other great
Benedict
bodies.
Benedict is
in
better
comedy.
Than all of them. Benedict, I mean, Benny's got
Mateo
the body.
Bodies ever. And
Mateo's
he's
got a great
go
body.
Now,
Kumail
hopefully.
Has a great body, but Benedict's body is almost like unhealthily trim.
Absolutely. He talks on all of his dates. He talks about food, and because I've starved myself before too, Benedict, and it's all you want to talk about is like what food you're gonna eat, what you did eat that day. So Benedict was on like a very strict diet cleanse type thing to get in shape. He looks amazing, but he's so funny, and he also is open about having hair transplant, which I think is just like so funny and cool at his age. And he's really self-deprecating, but you know, as a comedian, I know that you often make fun of the things about yourself before anyone else can. So I know that by in doing those things and getting ahead of the joke, he's not like, this is open for everyone to make fun of. He's just like, I'm doing it so you please don't. You know, though when you do make fun of yourself, it seems to open up this dialogue that other people can weigh in. Mm-hmm. If you ever encounter a comedian, i.e. me or Brian, and we've made something fun of something about ourselves on this podcast, don't go deeper into it in person if you ever meet us. It's just because even though it seems like, oh, this is something I can, not that I've ever had that really happen, but Benedict, I will say, when he would eliminate girls, sometimes I could see his feelings get very, very hurt.
Yeah.
He was a little rattled. We should have him on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, we should. He'd be great to have on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have him on when I'm in LA coming up. But... the show is, I'm excited to
relive it. We could also have Marco.
It. Oh, Marco's amazing too. Marco, who was on F-Boy 3, he's not in Lovers and Liars, but Marco, what is his last name? Fuck.
Marco Del Vecchio? I don't remember.
Marco Del Vecchio, which is not his name. I think he goes, I forget. If you look up Marco F-Boy Island, look him up. He's so funny. He's a comedian as well. I'm sorry I don't know your last name, Marco. That is really not good of me, but I did meet you on a reality show where I don't know last name.
It is Marco Del Vecchio.
Marco Del Vecchio. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I even talked about it on the podcast. I probably did. I did Tom Sandoval's podcast ages ago, six months ago, and he invited me to go to karaoke, right? Yep. I told the story.
The
and then his friend gave me those earrings, the Taylor Swift earrings from the music video. Not the exact ones, but the same brand that were like literally $5,500 earrings. And I can't even believe I own them. Tom was like, let's go do karaoke at Barney's Beanery. And I go to Barney's Beanery, and Marco from F-Boy Island 3, which is how I knew him, and I knew him, he was a comedian too, he's like running that place. Not literally, but he is like, it's the hottest spot in West Hollywood now, Barney's Beanery, which when I was living in LA in my 20s, it was like a shithole. And no one would go there, and it was just a couple like local drunks that would maybe be there in their 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
But now it is like the hotspot for 20-somethings. If you are in LA, go to Barney's Beanery Wednesday night, damn, I think, karaoke. Turnaround. It's such a turnaround. But Marco was running that place, and he gets like up and Tom does a Brady Backstreet Boys. Yeah. He actually, he reminds me a lot of a young Tom Brady. No, he got up and did a Backstreet Boys karaoke, and I was mesmerized because he was dancing and singing, and he's not a good singer, but he was one of the best karaoke performances I've ever seen.
It's all
seen.
About the performance, bringing that heart.
It really was about the dancing and the choreography and just like the fun and like losing yourself in it. And then Tom Sandoval also sang a song and had such a good voice. It was not okay. It was really intimidating. And oh, okay. So can I just quickly go back to Tom Brady? I'm going to just tie up this loose end. I'm so sorry. It's really all I want to talk about or think about.
I'm all for it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make this interesting for girls because I know if I was a girl, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. First of all, Tom Brady is hot. So open your mind. Okay. And he's single now. So you can like imagine being with him. Like I know when celebrities get married and stuff, for me, they just kind of go off. Even though I'm in a relationship, I just don't even like to like, I don't care about celebrities that are married. Yes. I guess because I always fantasize like I could have like male. Yeah, no, it's not like I don't care about them. I just, if I have a crush on a celebrity, like a dumb.
Is that
like,
limerence?
Yeah, it's limerence and it's bad. And I'm not limering about Tom Brady, although I have. He has been in my dreams, not in a sexual way. We just hang out. But I have been consuming too much for him not to show up.
That happens when I have a crush on a celebrity and then she gets into a relationship. I'm always like, no.
I literally unfollow them. I'm just like, oh, I don't even care anymore. It's so goes against everything I believe when like I know that when I post about being in a relationship with Chris, I get less likes on that stuff. And I do sense numbers dropping off because there, and I don't begrudge people that because there is a fantasy, even though I got yelled at you yesterday of like, you're never going to end up in a relationship with me if you think we have some bond there. I understand thinking you might like,
sure.
It's happened on Notting Hill. You know, it's happened fictionally in 1997 on a movie before where a normal person and a celebrity end up together. And it happened to Julia Roberts with Danny Motor, the cameraman. Okay.
That's right.
So
we all know that.
Okay, the Tom Brady, it's on Facebook, right? If you have Facebook, you can watch this for free. It is a documentary that came out in 2017. It is a docuseries. It really, if you like documentaries and you like the same TV as me, kind of reality-based, but like with heart and seeming really real and not pulling back too much, like it's actually revealing some kind of vulnerable moments and spaces in a person's life, even though it's produced by them. And I'm not talking about 5'1" by Lady Gaga. I did like that, but I felt like it was like curated around like, this is what I want to show of my vulnerability. And oh, don't I look cute crying here? And grandma, listen to this song, grandma. My favorite thing that ever happened in a documentary. And if you've been listening to the show a long time, you know about it. But you do have to watch 5'1" or whatever, 5'0", whatever her documentary was. She writes a song called Joanne about her dead aunt who she never met. She writes a whole album about this Joanne. She believes she's Joanne reincarnated. Her grandmother's daughter, Joanne, who died tragically, Lady Gaga, her granddaughter, believes that she is now her daughter. Lady Gaga believes she's her aunt reincarnated because Joanne had a good voice and whatever. There's maybe some truth to that. It's not like they were born and died on the same day, but who knows? So then Lady Gaga writes a song called Joanne, which is a really great song. I actually love that album. It's probably my favorite Lady Gaga album. And she plays the song for her grandma in the documentary. It's so funny, you guys. You have to just go watch that scene. She goes to visit her grandma in her little grandma's house. She's like, grandma, I wrote a song about Joanne. And grandma, doesn't talk about Joanne. Hasn't talked about Joanne since she died. Is not going to touch that pain. Doesn't want to deal. She buried her daughter and kept her room. That's like kind of, you know, when older people don't want to deal with their pain, they don't talk about it. So here is Lady Gaga wrote an album, is claiming to be her daughter reincarnated. And then says, I really want you to hear this song I wrote about Joanne. And like, I'm Joanne singing the song about Joanne. And her grandma was like, okay, that sounds great. And it's kind of like, I don't really want to go here right now. Like her grandma just wants to bake her cookies and talk to her about her feelings and not talk about her dead daughter that she's been trying to avoid talking about for 30 years or whatever. So then Lady Gaga plays the song on her phone and like says, "Grandma, you don't have to cry, Grandma. You don't have to cry. Please don't cry." And she's dying for her grandma to cry. I mean, you see in this moment, Lady Gaga's whole life is about getting, which I relate to, is getting your parents and your grandma or whoever wasn't really that impressed with you as a kid, getting them to be like, "Wow, you did it." And she's holding the phone to her grandma's face, and the more her grandma is just steel-faced, like, not even giving her anything. And as the song goes on, she goes, "Grandma, you might want to cry, and you can, Grandma, you can cry." Like, she's, and you can tell Lady Gaga's like, "Oh no, the scene is being filmed. Grandma's not giving any reaction. This isn't what I'm like." And she starts to like just scream at her, "Grandma, Grandma, you can cry, Grandma." And Grandma does not give it up, and it's really awkward. Okay, so you should watch that scene, but. Tom Brady versus Time on Facebook. You just Google it on your Facebook app. I've never literally watched anything on Facebook. I go, this is on Facebook? It's the same documentary that scene where he kisses his kid came from. It is really, really well done. It is one of my favorite like docu-series of a celebrity I've ever watched, and I've watched quite a couple.
Two? You watched two of them?
Yeah, and I watched all two of them. Wow. A lot of two of them. And I'm not even finished with this one because I like it so much I want to take my time.
Yeah.
But it is every episode. It's Tom versus Time. So it's all about Tom in, I think, 2017. So it was probably like he was going for his, I think, 40. fifth or fourth Super Bowl.
That's the year that they played the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Well, it was the next year. It depends what season we're talking about here. But yes, that was around then.
I don't remember what season this is, but I know that what was going on is this season.
It's either the Eagles. Either the Eagles won the Super Bowl that year.
We haven't gotten to the Super Bowl yet.
Or it was the Falcons versus the Patriots.
So we haven't gotten to the Super Bowl yet, so I don't know. But they go throughout the whole. They go preseason when he's like 25 weeks away. Then they go show 10 weeks away. But they don't go in order. They'll like zip to the. You know, the playoffs. And then they'll go back to, 10 weeks before it begins.
Interesting.
And you see, Brian, you will fucking love it. So all the sports stuff is actually very interesting, even if you don't care about it, because it's actually dealing with, every episode goes like Tom versus emotions. Or no, every episode is the blank game, the family game, the emotion game, the heart game. And so it talks about each game he plays in his life that he has to balance around. And this is also around a time where he is realizing there may be more important things in life than football. And there is a scene in the episode called Tom versus the emotion game. Oh, and then there's also one that's like the social game, and it talks about his friendships with all of the guys on the team, and they do this little like camp. He does like a 3-day camp thing with Gronk and Sam Julian Edelman and then someone else,
Wes Welker.
And that's a really cute, what is it,
I don't know, Wes Welker was also Julian Edelman type,
right? What's
Randy
the
Moss?
Hot guy's name, the really hot guy, Jimmy
Garoppolo.
Yeah.
The other quarterback?
Dude, that guy's hot. Okay.
Yeah, well, he's like the George Clooney of the NFL.
It's crazy. I remember that way before Chris and I got put together, I got into him, and I've kept it a secret because I can't be that attracted to someone. Like, it just, I know it would bother Chris, but that guy, I think one day he saw that I was following him on Instagram. I was like, "Why are you following this guy?" I was like, "I don't even know. I mean, clearly, he kind of looks like you." I like that, like, kind of, he does have a Chris vibe. Anyway, that's what I always say to Chris whenever he catches me being attracted to people. I'm like, it's only because they look like you. What a fucking bullshit. It's only because he looks like Jimmy. I have to go to break. I'm going to tell you about the scene that I want you to watch, though. And maybe you won't have to watch it because I'll tell you about it when we get back from this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother, All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Okay, so it's an episode about, like, Tom and his family. I think it's the fourth episode. You can just jump to that one, okay? And it's about him and Giselle and him and his family. Okay, this... The writing was on the wall for their divorce.
Oh, yeah.
And I fucking love when you see like something so clearly. If I would have seen this back in 2017, I wouldn't have thought it would take until 2022. I would have thought this is within 2 years. Mm-hmm. So there is a scene where she says, and I want to get you guys to weigh in on this. So I love their love, by the way. Like, I think they had a really good marriage, and I don't want to speak unkindly about two people I actually do admire. I think Giselle Bundchen, I've been a fan of hers since she first came on the scene in like 1998. Yeah. And she was always, I think, the most beautiful woman to ever. I think she's the number one. Body, face, hair, everything. She's always, for me, physically, if I could look like anyone, it would be Giselle Bundchen. It's always been the one I go to. She's got a great anterior pelvic tilt, but she also has that pose. And she does train in jiu-jitsu now. She's, I think, dating her coach. Which is cool because I like that they're, I would pay probably $10,000. I'm not even joking you. And I know that just seems like me flashing money. That's a lot of money to me to see the moment they went from coach and trainee to something more. If there was alcohol involved, I don't care about the footage.
Right.
But if it was just a moment of lust, deeply, deeply care.
He's putting her in a sleeper hold, and she's like, that moment.
Hold me softer. Yeah. hold me in a different way. So there's a scene. Oh, my God. It, like, kind of breaks my heart. I almost want to cry because I love Tom so much. This is so weird. I know this is weird, but I feel... I think this guy is such a good person and such a sweetie, and I don't like talking about him in a way that isn't nice because I just feel like he doesn't even want to be this famous. He just wants to play football and do a good job. Like, he would be playing football if no one cared about it even? Like, I don't feel like he cares about money and fame. I'm sure he loves all of that stuff, but just doesn't feel like that's why he's in it. And so, and I really obviously know that he doesn't want people talking about his life. But then you would say, why did he do a documentary? So I will allow myself to comment on the documentary. Mm-hmm. There is a scene where he is on a vacation with Giselle, which you can tell that Costa Rica is her happy place because she says so. And they're in Costa Rica together, and they're doing, for the first time in this whole documentary, you're seeing them seated together talking, like doing interview style. You know, it's interstitials of them doing interviews as they're commenting on the footage. But this is the first time they're together. And there's also her by herself, and that gets very revealing as well. But I can't believe they left this in, because there is a scene where they are, she's sitting in front of him, and he has got his arm around her, and they look really cute, and they are a cute couple. You can tell they're deeply in love, and they have like a great relationship. They have two kids together, and also his her stepchild from his from his girlfriend previous to them meeting. And then you can tell they're just such a cute family. But she says, you know, Tom, I'm not going to do her accent. Tom said he would only, when I first met Tom, he said 10 more years. And by this time, it is 11 more years. And she said, he said 10 more years. I just want to say that. He said 10 more years. And that would all be it. And then we would be a family. And then we would be able to stop and calm down. And, you know, and she goes, I just want to say that. That's what he said. Isn't what you said? And there's a little moment between them. And then she goes, oh my God, you guys, it's crazy. So this was the most revealing part. You can tell there's just a little bit of, there's tension between them around football. A lot of tension, because he'll lose a game and then he'll show their car ride home. And he's like, I just can't believe that happened. I just can't get it out of my head. And she's like, it's okay. It's about the team. You guys just haven't come together yet. And she's kind of saying these empty words that aren't really soothing him, but not because they're empty. She really is trying, and she actually is saying exactly what I would think to say in that. But it just, you can tell he's just like stuck in this muck, and she can't get out of that for this whole season. And she even says, when Tom is in football season, I take up 100% of the work with the kids. Not 99%, yeah. Not 99.9, 100.
And I was like, that's interesting. They can't hire somebody to help?
Well, I'm sure Bunchen they do.
You still have to manage. You still have to manage people.
Yeah, she's doing 100% of the work.
Really hard
to
manage all those employees.
No, it is, Brian.
Vetting them, finding them.
Yeah, making sure.
I know.
And
I feel
they
bad
do seem
for
very
Giselle Bundchen
hands
and Tom Brady.
I don't feel bad for them. I think every relationship has these struggles. I'm only sharing this because I think that people will be interested to see that this perfect couple like had fissures that were going on earlier than you would have thought. So then the moment that I'm like, can't even believe. So he goes, they're talking about, you know, she goes, I truly don't know much how much longer this is going to go on. Or she says something like that. And he goes, I just want to win 2 more Super Bowls. And she goes, okay. Okay. So how long is that going to be? And he goes, could be, you know, obviously it could be 2 more seasons. He mm-hmm. could win 2 more. Or it could be whatever. He mentioned several times on his own throughout the documentary that he plans on only quitting when it's emotionally too much for him, but it will never be physically too much. He literally thinks he will never have to stop because physical. Because he's in this documentary, I think he's 41 or 2, and he is performing better than he ever has in his life. So why would he? He's like, I don't feel like I'm on the downswing yet of my career.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm on the up. Like I have another half to go at least, which is insane and not true. Obviously, we found out.
Right.
So, or was it? Did he quit before?
He declined a little bit, but he was better than most quarterbacks even the final year when his team didn't
agree.
Do so well.
I think he should. I think he could still be playing. I really do, and I think he did leave to focus on his family. And then obviously that didn't work out and it led to divorce. I don't know what led to divorce, but here's the moment. Final thought. She says, she goes, I don't know how many more years it will be. She goes, honestly, how many more years? On camera, in their interview, she turns home and goes, how many more? This is a conversation. For me, that was a huge moment. And I know that might seem like innocuous. How have they never talked about how many more years? It almost as if they have never had this conversation, and she's been waiting for that 10 years to wear out, and knowing, because he said 10 years, he promised her 10 years in the beginning, the 10 years happened, And then they never really talked about it. Because she said after the 10 years, I remember there was some comment of like, then he starts talking about the preseason for the next one. And I was like, wait, what? I thought we were done. Like, she thought she remembered the conversation from 10 years before. Uh-huh. And it seems to have forgotten it. So she literally asks him on camera, how many more years? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, really, how many? And then she just looks off. And there is like, you know, when two couples, when they're driving and they're fighting and they just look both out the window in different ways. Like,
and they're suddenly interested in that Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Oh my God. You got to read the sign behind. Like you go past it. You got to read what's on the other side. Maybe they have a Bible quote. Like exactly. You're suddenly interested in bullshit out the window when you're fighting with your husband. You guys have to watch this. I was watching it from my phone, or I would have screen recorded it and instantly shared it with Girls Chat, because I can't believe more people weren't talking about the scene. Mm-hmm. She had not. Can you imagine a couple who is married and your husband is the best quarterback to ever live, and for the best team, and your whole happiness rides on whether or not he keeps playing, and you're not talking about that? To me, it made me feel really good inside. And maybe I'm reacting to this because I also relate to being in a relationship, and I think most people can, where there's like these big things that you don't quite talk about because they're mm-hmm. too big, and they might mean like, if we disagree on this, this might be over. Or if we disagree on this, this might be a 7-hour fight, which neither of us have time to have. So you just don't talk about them. And it made me feel soothed, because Chris and I have come across these in our relationship throughout the years of like, oh, we just don't talk about that thing. We mm-hmm. both know it's like an issue for us. And it comes up, little flare-ups here and there, and maybe we joke about it here and there. But you really, it's something as big as how long are you going to be doing this thing that I think is ruining your body, ruining our relationship, ruining your connection with your children, wasting your time in your life. And that's what she said. She goes, then she just starts talking to the camera guy, or insane. Like the guy interviewing it. And she goes, it really is about what you want your life to be. And he's sitting right behind her, right? Like he's like right out of her periphery. She's like, it really is about, you just have to realize, how do you want to spend your life? How do you want to spend your life on this earth? And it's like, whoa, it was just a moment of like, I'm tired of this football shit. How much more do you have to prove? You already won everything. What do you need to do anymore?
So whose side are you on here?
Both. Oh. This is why I love it. This is what makes good TV, where you can see, you can see on both sides of both the villain or whoever. There's no villain in this. No one's actually being made out to be the villain. In some ways, I really empathize with Giselle of like, what is this for? Who really matters to you? And I think that, you know, people who have been in relationships with me can, friendship, family, boyfriend can go, why is this date on the road more important to you than maybe spending, you know, going to your nephew's birthday? Like, what are you going to be on your deathbed and remember? Are you really going to remember a kid blowing out candles? No, you should go to this casino in the middle of Pennsylvania. Like, you have to make choices in your life when you think about your deathbed.
Sorry.
Thank you for laughing at that. I meant to. Okay, so, yeah.
I'm 100% on Tom Brady's side here, which is...
No. Why, how? Are you just saying that to be funny? Because no. How could you make a promise at the beginning of your relationship, I'm only going to play 10 more years, and then begrudge her for being a little upset about it?
Because Tom Brady... I know that he had kids and he got married, but Tom Brady's entire life is based around him achieving greatness in football.
There's another moment that will support what you're going to say, and I'll let you finish. I'm so sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you married this guy. You know he was, like, one of the greatest football players of all time. You know he was trying
10 years, Brian.
But how is he supposed to know what's going to happen 10 years from now?
He doesn't. No, and that's what divorce is for.
That's not fair.
You change your mind. I'll never cheat on you. I'll never want something more. I'll never stop loving you. Things change. Like, we can't be beholden to these promises we make. We can try to keep those, but the only promise Tom Brady has kept really is the one to himself, to always give 100% to football. And this is the real moment. If you want to talk about a moment, him and Giselle are sitting there and they're talking about football, and she goes, can I please play it?
Sure.
It's less than 20 seconds.
Okay.
I think you need to hear it.
The reason why she was attracted to him in the first place is the thing she's trying to destroy now, I think. Like, he's...
No. No, she loves him for him. She doesn't give a fuck.
I'm sure she would have married Tom Brady if he wasn't a NFL quarterback. I'm sure if he was just some guy who worked at Applebee's, she would have married him too, because she loves him for him.
Okay. That happens all the time for people in relationships.
What do you mean?
Where you are attracted to someone for one thing, and then over time, that's the thing that kind of like destroys it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I guarantee when he said the 10-year thing, it wasn't just like, by the way, babe, I'm just telling you right now, I'm letting you know that this is only going to last 10 years, and that's all you have to worry about. I guarantee it was like, how long do you think you're going to be playing football for? And he finally was like, I don't know, 10 years? And she held on to that for decades, just sat on that in her pocket.
I agree that could be a thing where it was like, yeah, it was something he said and didn't really mean, and she took it as like, that is the honest to God truth. Okay, I think it's going to be on episode 5, which I can't find right now. Anyway, what I want to say is what she said that I should have had it queued up. She goes, honestly, he loves football. I think football is his first love. I think football.
No.
And she says that, right? And it sits there. And then she kind of moves off of him because she kind of leaned on him at this point. So it's all about body language. Then she moves off of him and she goes, honestly, she's like kind of moving away because she's feeling, I'm putting a lot on this that is probably not in her head, so I don't want to speak for her. But to me, your body language spoke of like, wait a second, I feel this way about it. She goes, honestly, and she kind of turns to him. She's like, it is. I think football is your first love, meaning like you love something more than me.
Yeah.
And it's truth. Football. And she goes, and she turns to him and he just goes, you know, he's just like kind of laughing, looking at the documentary guy that's interviewing them, kind of like, can we move on? And she goes, it's true. And then she looks away because he won't give her anything. And she goes, it's because it's true. It's true. Oh, and she's just defeated and looks off into the ocean. Mm-hmm. Dude, that moment where you like, you realize he can't say it's not true. And he's kind of laughing. And I don't think he wants to admit it even to himself. But she does say, and we have to go, I'm sorry this has become a review of a documentary series that happened
7 years ago.
7 years ago.
On Facebook.
It's new to us.
It's new to me and new to us. I know it's new to
Giselle too, apparently.
And it's free on Facebook. Everyone has Facebook. Everyone can watch it. This is not leaving anyone out. It's just like the CW app. So the thing is, though, she says, I will say he does love football. Like he loves it more than I've seen anyone love anything, which I think is kind of cool. And I think that's why he's Tom Brady, is because he actually loves what he does so much. And that's what I've always said about stand-up, when people are like, when they start stand-up, how do I get good? And I'm like, you shouldn't have to think about what you have to do. It should just be easy, because you should want to only think about it, do it, and talk about it, and write about it, and think about it, and look at everything through, like, you should be obsessed, because you love it so much. It shouldn't be hard. Early stand-up, when you're like, people are like, how did you drive to these shows and perform for these horrible crowds and deal with these bookers and these? And I'm like, there was not one part of me that was like, this is hard. It's not like I enjoyed sleeping in a comedy condo with a man who didn't shower and was kind of creepy to me and flew in his MySpace girlfriend who really hated me because she thought she was jealous of me, and then I had to buy new sheets with the money I made the first night of the show because that comedy condo was disgusting. It's not like I liked any of that, but there was no part of me that was like, there's another way, or like, this is just what I have to do the thing I love. And I'm grateful that I liked it so much. And do I love it as much now? Yeah, I think I still do. Mm-hmm. But it's just at a different level.
It's a more mature level.
I'm obsessed with Tom Brady in that way. Truly. Yeah. I really think I want to become an expert in him in some way.
Like, Chris is like, she loves Tom Brady documentaries more than me.
Chris does say Nikki loves an old sports documentary more than anyone I've ever met. Yes. Like, I love, if you have recommendations, like I've said, people recommended a lot of 30 for 30s, and I screenshotted them and I don't remember if I got back to them, but If you have any,
well, there's new Tom Brady documentaries out right now. There's like the Dynasty one about his whole time with the Patriots.
I don't want to watch him play. I mean, I do. I like watching him play when he's talking about it, but I don't like other commentators just talking about him playing and then just showing gridiron action. Like,
oh,
I can't.
I love the gridiron action.
I don't want any Come
on,
gridiron.
Baby. Come on, Tom.
I want to see him in his car quietly talking about his feelings. Okay, so if any besties watch this and take me up on watching it, will you write to me about it so we can talk about how good it is? And you talk to me about your favorite moments, because it would mean a lot to me. And I'm sorry if this episode wasn't interesting to you, but I think I have a feeling that it was. Okay, I love you guys. Thank you so much. I have to go now do local St. Louis television because I'm doing a Fox. I'm doing a show at the Fox Theater in St. Louis, April 27th. Big venue. I think 4,200 seats, which is one of the biggest venues I've ever played. By far the biggest in St. Louis. Iconic place. I went to see Pocahontas at the Fox Theater when I was in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I was interviewed outside by KMOX TV. It was the first time I was ever on TV saying that I love Pocahontas. It was a lie. The first thing I said on TV was a lie. I was too old for Pocahontas. I didn't like it. It really, I think, fell off after Lion King. But I did get on TV lying and saying, I loved it. I love the raccoon. So I'm going back to the Fox. I'm going to perform with a band as well. So that will be a special thing. There will be a lot of special things happening that night. April 27th, almost sold out. So if you're in St. Louis, get your tickets. I will be in Rohnert Park this week, this weekend, this Saturday or Friday and Saturday. I'm in Rohnert Park, California. I think that's a little north. And then I'm in Temecula at the Pechanga Casino on Saturday night. Benedict Polizzi. Hey. From F-Boy Island will be in attendance. We are doing a cross promo thing. He is going to be doing a set. He's going to be hilarious. That will be Saturday. And then the following week, I'm all over. I'm in Waukegan, Illinois. Where else am I?
Minneapolis. At the Slate Theater on the 12th.
Oh my God, Minneapolis. I fucking love going to Minneapolis. Please come out for that, bestie. That would be amazing. Then I'm in New Orleans. Oh my God, I'm in New Orleans.
Hey.
Holy shit, I'm going to be in New Orleans at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. I've never been there before. In Minneapolis, I'm going to be at the State Theater. And then
Houston.
And then I'm in Houston on Sunday. So this is next week, the 12th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. Minneapolis. Listen to that tour schedule. Minneapolis, Jesus. New Orleans, and then Houston in one weekend. That doesn't even make sense.
No.
So those will be such fun shows. Houston always comes out so big for me. That'll be on Houston, Texas Music Hall in Houston on Sunday. And then Monday I will be in Austin, Texas at somewhere that I will announce soon. But that'll be a date if you live in Austin on the 15th. Save that date and tune in to my Instagram to find out what that is. And then I just also want to throw out Waukegan, Illinois on the 19th, Niagara Falls, New York on the 20th, Huntington, New York on the 21st. And then the 27th in St. Louis. I'm only doing, and then Omaha on the 28th. Omaha on the 28th, which I love Omaha. I love the Counting Crows song about it. And
you've ever done Huntington before?
I think I have, actually.
Yeah.
What is it like?
You're going to entertain those Long Island bros.
Oh, really?
It's Nassau County, Long Island. It's like, it's...
Hamptons?
It's probably... No, not even close.
Aren't Hamptons on Long Island, though?
Yeah. It's in Suffolk County.
But it's like 4 hours away?
Yeah.
You're at the Paramount. That's a great theater. It's really nice.
Who have you seen bands there?
Clutch. The band Clutch. And I think
just
more.
Love to hear the bands. And what?
Gore?
Cool. Yeah. Okay, I know that band. It's so cool to be in places where Gore, like, I will look at a toilet seat that one of the guys from Gore has sat on.
Wait, Gore? Or what is
that? What if Gore put down toilet seat covers?
Yeah.
That would be so funny to see one of those guys in those masks. Don't they wear masks?
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Well, they wear whole
disgusting,
terrifying masks.
I got to put on Does anybody have any Purell?
Washing their hands with like a honey lavender scented like lathering.
That's funny.
With those masks is so funny. Oh my God. Okay. Using like a tiny bath towel and then propping it back up, like folding it to make it look nice again. Oh, that is so. I picture heavy metal guys actually being very polite in normal life because they're so crazy on stage. It's like they're probably really nice outside of it. I bet they would fold a bath towel.
Excuse me, miss. You dropped your card.
Like Okay. Your guard. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Check out those dates. Come see us on tour. Love you. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you had a great week. Have a great weekend. And do not be care. And bye.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand-washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.